Today's vote in Congress marks the most radical overhaul of U.S. intelligence in nearly 60 years. The legislation runs some 600 pages, but insiders say what's in those pages leaves plenty of room for confusion about how the changes will work in practice. And they say it's unclear whether the reforms will make a difference in preventing terrorist attacks or slowing weapons proliferation. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports.
The centerpiece of these reforms is the creation of the new position, National Intelligence Director. And many believe a tremendous amount will depend on who gets the job and what kind of precedent they set in wielding their authority. Flint Leverett, a former CIA analyst who also spent time on President Bush's National Security Council, says the new director needs to be someone with gumption.
Someone who is going to be willing to take the authorities given to him in this bill, to take those authorities and run with them as far and as fast as he can, to push the envelope. You're going to need someone who has an entrepreneurial bent and who has stomach for a fight.
Another key qualification, according to Suzanne Spaulding, who's held high-level jobs on both the House and Senate intelligence committees, would be someone who understands the ways of Washington's internecine turf battles.
For example, Sam Nunn is somebody that I think ought to be seriously considered, somebody who has a kind of stature that will be required to consolidate the authority that Congress intended the DNI to have, but who also has extensive experience in the national security world.
Besides Nunn, a former Democratic senator, some of the other names circulating in Washington are the leaders of the 9/11 Commission, Thomas Kane and Lee Hamilton, former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft, and Porter Goss. It's been widely assumed the job would go to Goss if he wanted it. But in the 2.5 months since he took over as CIA chief, Goss has generated enough negative publicity that he might now face a very tough confirmation fight in the Senate. The reason it's so important to pick the new intelligence director wisely is that the reform bill is ambiguous as to the exact powers that person will command. Flint Leverett.
The authorities of the DNI are, with regard to budget and personnel, are not nearly as clear as they might have been. And how these end up getting implemented the first time or two, the first budget cycle or two that we go through, that's going to be critical.
Another thing to watch for, whether the new intelligence chief ends up briefing the president. George Tenet, the former CIA director, is said to have derived a good deal of his power from actually being the one in the room with the president 6 mornings a week. Both supporters and critics of the reform bill say it will only go so far in correcting the problems that led to recent intelligence failures. Fred Hitz was the CIA's inspector general for most of the 1990s. He points out the changes target only the highest echelons of the intelligence bureaucracy, leaving vital workers at lower levels untouched.
None of this superstructure at the top deals with the fundamental question of improving analysis and enhancing collection overseas. It doesn't put one more spy in the field or get one more top-flight analyst on an account.
Thus, Hitz argues that just as important as this sweeping intelligence bill will be a handful of executive orders the White House issued with very little fanfare on November 18th. Those orders call on the CIA to embark on a major expansion, increasing by 50% the number of analysts, spies, and agents who speak critical languages such as Arabic. Flint Leverett says the way that expansion is carried out will say a lot about whether overall intelligence reform ends up being meaningful.
The way I look at it is this is, while it's the culmination of a convoluted legislative process, it is in no way the culmination of the process of intelligence reform. This is really the beginning of that process.
Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.